Set up here this morning, and we've got some things we're going to be doing just a tad different in our morning time together. This will be the last Sunday that we have these two services, and so just to remind you of that, in your bulletin you'll be noticing that next Sunday begins what we are looking to do as far as a schedule change and things of that nature, so make sure that you are taking note of that. I'm Pastor Adam Love, Senior Pastor here at Grace, and we welcome you, and those of you that are joining us online, we are we're grateful for your presence as well. If you're visiting with us, thank you for your time, and I hope that we'll have an opportunity to connect with you after the service here this morning. But as always, we're excited to be able to worship together and looking forward to what God has in store. There's several things inside of your bulletin that I hope that you've taken a moment to peruse through, several pieces of paper that have pertinent information that's going to guide us as we begin to transition our schedule. During the pandemic, the severe part of it, we went to these two services to allow some freedom with the mask mandates and all those things, and we're moving back to a one-service model and trying to begin again a discipleship hour, and we are going to be reversing the order that a lot of our churches use, where we would do that Sunday school or discipleship or adult training, children, they had a lot of different names that I've come across over the years. But that discipleship time was usually prior to a worship service, and we are reversing those, putting the worship service first, and then a time of fellowship, and then a time of discipleship. So just be aware of that. Next Sunday, 9:30 is where we will begin, and we will begin in here together. Looking forward to the opportunity to gather our places here. The first services and the second services have started to change in their faces and things like this, but it's going to be good to get us back together again, and looking forward to that time. So make sure that you take note of that. In fact, Kelly and I today are going to be talking a little bit with you about some of these things, and we'll be kind of explaining that, and thus a little bit of a different setting here this morning, but looking forward to what God has in store. The other great joy today is that we get to hear from Grant and Ray's Dix, and I'm going to ask them to come ahead, and I also want to make sure that we mention that Joel and Debbie, this is their last Sunday with us as well. They're headed back to Hungary, and they'll be leaving on the 2nd, and so I want to make sure that we give them a grand farewell, but want to make sure that you're aware of that as a group. Now, I'm going to give you two a microphone. Is it safe to give her a microphone? I don't know about that. All right. And we want to let them have an opportunity to share. God's doing some great things in their endeavors to get to the mission field. And Grant is no stranger to us. Ray's has just become a welcomed addition. And in fact, I think he's just better off because of her. And we're grateful for their anticipation of ministry. And so we're going to give them an opportunity to give us a little bit of an update. And then we're going to come back and we'll open the word of prayer and get into our worship time here this morning. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for having us. I like these chairs. You can just sit down. We are Grant and Ray's Dix. We have a few slides. Yeah, so that's the, that's the outdated one. You can go to the next one. Yeah, there we are. So we have changed our field that we're going to. That's the second most significant update after my haircut. And so we made that decision for several times. We'll be going to Hungary instead of Norway, which is what we previously thought. And God led us in that direction just through a few different avenues, just a peace of mind and going there and having an established field, having connections that we can use. We prayed about it for a while and spoke to our pastors in Virginia, and we agreed that's where we would be most useful. And so that's the direction that God's led us. One of the benefits of that change is also that it's a much cheaper field, so we'll get there a lot faster. It's about $36,000 a year less expensive than Norway, so that we didn't change our expected arrival date. Our expected arrival date just became a little more realistic. As far as what we're going to be doing there, though, the ministry is largely going to be staying the same. Our hope is to start in Budapest, Diost area, where our family is, work on learning the language and learning the culture while building connections and then being a part of church planting team and raising up new leaders, discipleship and evangelism, and that longest term will most likely be in cities other than Budapest and Diost. We're not quite sure where that is. We're working on building those connections, but we're super excited to see what God has in store for us over there. Now we just want to take a few minutes for Riz to tell a bit of her story, since you haven't met her before. And is that one on?
Or? I'm not sure. Oh, good. I thought it was important to share a little bit because I know a lot of you have been involved with Grant's life, and I want you all to know where I come from so that as you all get involved, it's not half of our family that you know what's going on, but instead you feel connected to both. But I actually grew up in Richmond, Virginia. I was born there, and I was a part of a Christian family. However, I might have a little bit different story than many of you. My dad was a drug dealer in Richmond and got a lot of our family's profit through those means. And as the police found him and caught him and put him in prison, as they should have, the Lord saved him and brought him to the church. And in that time of being in prison, he was sentenced to 36 years. And so none of me or my brothers would have been born if the Lord had that path specifically laid out as he was told. But instead, his sentence was changed to 9 months. And so a lot of things in the beginning part of my family's marriage affected my life and our life for the rest of our lives. So he was released, and he and my mom went to the church and said that they wanted to know the Lord personally. And so when me and my brothers were born just a few years later, they were still new believers. And so a lot of the way that I grew up was very new. They weren't caught in the traditions of their past, but instead they said, we're not going to be caught in being lazy in our faith. We want to be active in evangelism. We want to be active in welcoming people into our home to live with us and to disciple them. And so I really got to see that firsthand. And from a very young age, at 5, I gave my life to the Lord, but I also gave my life to missions because I saw how it's not about the American culture being top and being the most significant, but instead it's about we're all people in need of a savior, no matter the culture that separates us or the language. And so I was very honored to grow up with a dad like my dad and a mom like my mom. I think there's a picture. I didn't know they'd be this big. but it's okay if you can't find it. But my dad ended up passing away on December 27th of last year, so just a few weeks ago. He suffered with ALS for 7 years, and it's just amazing to think about what has happened over the course of his life, because so many people were touched and so many people were affected. At his funeral, so many men were coming up to our family and saying that they wanted to give their life to Christ because of the impact and the seeds that he had been planting his whole life. And so it's an honor to be his daughter, but also to be Joel and Debbie's daughter-in-law too, to just be welcomed into a new family is just a big deal to me. And so I have an older brother, he's 27. I have a younger brother, he's 21. He's finishing Liberty in Lynchburg. My mom, of course, she's surrounded by a really great group of women right now that are really encouraging her. So thanks for praying to all of you that have been. That means so much to us. We wanted to share maybe a little bit about our story. I was growing up thinking that I would be single the rest my whole life because I had a very specific calling that the Lord placed on my life to give myself fully to wherever he would have me, whenever that would be. And I went on a global studies internship through Liberty my sophomore year of college, and it ended up being to Hungary, and Joel and Debbie said that their son was at Liberty, and they asked if I would give, if he would give me like Reese cups and a few Hungarian things to bring back to them. And so I did, and it was just really neat to meet Grant because I never met anybody like him before. A lot of guys, I don't know if it's Virginia or just right now, are very distracted. A lot of people are distracted by social media and the culture wanting to be a lot like them, but Grant's not like that. And so it was just really encouraging to be able to meet him and become friends, but we didn't start dating until 4 years later. Anyway, we get to continue growing together. I think our first year of marriage, the things that we've experienced has been maybe the amount of things that people who have been married for 10 years have experienced, just like the death of a parent, moving across the ocean and moving different places 12 times. It's been a lot of heavy, but we know that that's exactly the Lord's will for what's happened, and we don't want to be sidetracked by the things of this earth. And so we're just so thankful again for your prayers and your support and your encouragement, because it's very easy to get caught in distractions today. And so our heart in going to Hungary, it's an adjustment because it's kind of been a progression, but it's also still new. I got to live there for 3 years, and Grant got to grow up there for high school, and so it's not so very new to us. But what we're going to be doing is still different from what a lot of people are doing in Hungary, church planting and loving on the people there. We're really proud of Grant's parents for what they've already been doing there and excited to continue that as well. But my heart is to create biblical literacy among the women in Hungary. A lot of women don't have resources like we do in America, and they don't understand that they get to just read their Bible. They don't have to have a textbook or another author in between them and the Bible, but they get to study it for themselves. And so I'm really excited to see how the Lord develops that. And then also with the children, just developing a foundation for theology, because a lot of people there don't have the resources that we do again. And so we're excited to share that with them. But Grant's gonna talk about what we're doing now and how the church in Virginia is affecting us.
So right now we are living in Lynchburg, Virginia, where we met near Liberty University. Last year or the year before, we were connected to a new church that was started there, and we are partnering with them and being trained by them to be sent. We both have internships. I'm working with the pastors of the church, and Ray's is studying with the lead pastor's wife, and we're both growing a whole lot and looking at what it looks like to be a part of new churches. And we're finding that that's going to be very beneficial for whatever ministry God allows us to be a part of in the future. We also have on the last slide a few of the ways that you can be taking part in this ministry. And there are three different ways you can connect with us. If you sign up for our newsletter, we can see you after and show you how to do that. Or you can just send us an email. It's grantandrays@abwe.cc. We respond to any email that's sent to us, and we love hearing from you. So if you're interested, if you want to hear more, or keep getting to know us, that would be a great way. We're not really on social media, so that's kind of one of the best ways. Secondly, praying for us. We certainly need prayer. Prayer in the preparations that we're doing right now through our church in Virginia, Christ Covenant Fellowship. We're thankful for them, and we're thankful to be there. And then also prayer for the future ministry, the connections that we are working on making, preparing our minds to be learning the language and learning the culture. We're doing that now as much as we can. And then finally, through giving. That is one of the most practical ways. Right now, we're around 58%. We haven't gotten our official numbers for what it's going to take for us going to Hungary yet, but that's my estimate based on what we had for Norway already and then transitioning. It could be possible for us to get to Hungary by the end of the year, but that's dependent on people coming alongside us. We can't go without others also being passionate about ministry overseas also and helping in that way. We wanted to thank you for this time, Pastor Adam, for allowing us to give a little bit of an update. We're so thankful for you all.
Well, thank you, Grant Reyes. I do appreciate that, and looking forward to what God has in store. I'm going to ask Joel and Debbie, if you would, to come up here as well. I'd like to pray together with both of these couples, one as Grant Reyes, as they are looking to raise support. Joel and Debbie, and well, Grant has been with us and been a part of it as the ministry endeavors, but this whole family, and continue to pray for Brian and Ariel, who is also over there, and just grateful for the Dix family and their endeavor to be passionate about following Christ wherever God takes them. And so let's earnestly pray for them, and then also open our time here together as a church, and let's think about what God would have us to be doing as we think about what's our level of commitment, our desire to encourage them, to support them, but what am I doing to be in the middle of God's plan and God's best for reaching who he has placed in front of me. Father, we're grateful for this time here this morning as we come together, and Lord, excited for Grant and Reyes and the endeavor that you have placed before them. And Lord, we understand that sometimes your way of moving us and changing paths at times can sometimes feel as if, Lord, we are abandoning one endeavor, yet at the same aspect, you're creating opportunities. You have molded us, you have shaped us, you have given us these opportunities and placed them in front of us. And I just ask, Lord, that you'll help them as they step forward now to pursue your endeavor in Hungary. And I ask, Lord, that you'll just continue to raise their support. And Lord, may grace truly be an intimate part of their ministry endeavors. Lord, as well, we are mindful that you are getting ready to take Joel and Debbie, and for them, in many ways, it's going back home. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless them as they travel here in a few days. And Lord, encourage them in their ministry endeavors. Just grateful for the relationship that we share and the joy of serving together for the glory of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as a church to be mindful of what's going on around the world. And may we truly endeavor to honor and glorify you wherever you place us. And Lord, for those of us who are staying back here, Lord, we pray that you'll help our hearts to not lose the fervency that we will remember to pray and to write, to correspond, to give, to be a part of these ministries, these lives, as you're doing great things around the world. So protect in this culture of the pandemic mindset, but also, Lord, the financial needs, the burdens that they carry, the overwhelming sense at times that can grow us to a place of discouragement. But Lord, just continue to remind them that you are truly at work and you're doing great things. And I pray that you'll continue to let them be encouraged in you. Bless now our morning and those that are part of our ministry here. May you truly be praised and glorified in everything that we do and say here today. And it's in Christ's name we ask you. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. Why don't we all stand together, and we're going to begin our worship time here in song, and looking forward to our opportunity to lift our voices together, and appreciate Fred and his team as they lead us here this morning. Let's stand together, and we'll sing it out this morning.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, most high. the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. A strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High.
Joined us this morning, and just pray that your hearts would be blessed as we raise praises to our Father. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord forever, and I will trust Him at all times. Set my feet upon a rock,
and I will not be moved.
Oh, I will not be moved. And I'll say of the Lord, You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need.
Whom have I in heaven?
Whom have I in heaven but You? There's none I desire beside You, and You have made me glad, and I'll say of the Lord, You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help. You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need. My very present help in time of need. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roar, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. God his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, when Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. You may be seated.
There's a passage that we have been looking at, and I want to start with that verse, in Psalm 34, verse 3, and thinking about the call there that the psalmist does to bring us to a place of magnification, and he says it this way, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." It's a sense of a call to worship. It's a call as well to think about the points of exaltation. It's the place where we are to magnify what we know. And that is the challenge, to take and understand that there are attributes and qualities about God that he has visibly represented himself as, that we can see and we can know and we can understand. And the beautiful thing about our God is that he does not leave us in a quandary. He does not desire to leave us vague in our understanding of who he is and what he's up to. Now, there are times that we don't understand everything, yes, but it's in those areas that we can then trust him because, A, we know that he's good, right, church? And we understand that he has a plan that is always at work, that is bringing about the greatest opportunity to exalt himself and to do it for our good. And so many times, I think we can get so caught up in the unknowns that we fail to express those times and live those times in the knowns. And that's what this verse calls us to do. Let us exalt him. Let us magnify the Lord. Now, there is something else about this verse is that he is saying, let's do this together. This is a corporate sense. This is us coming together and doing this together as the people. And now in the church age in which we dwell and live, we understand that this is magnified in what we are doing even this morning. This is the call that we have to really worship. Now, we are in a series of messages that we're going to be doing over the course of the next few weeks together, and it's called the Pillars of the Assembly. And we have started with an understanding that there are basically, in my estimation, There are these four different pillars that really call us to a place of attention as a church. And we're going to focus on these four different pillars over the next few weeks. It's the worship, discipleship, fellowship, and evangelism. And I think we can see these through Scripture. I believe they're very biblically oriented. It's not just in my estimation, but I think when you read, especially through the New Testament, you begin to see everything that they have learned and everything that we have been taught about the person of God from the Old Testament as it comes down as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And now the New Testament is about expressing this entirety, all of this, that the person and the power, the plan, everything about the intention of God is seen and it's fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And now we get to be participants in that in what we call the church, the body of Christ, visible representatives of Christ, who is the representation of God himself, the Godhood, and everything about him. And so we are left here with these responsibilities. What are we to be about? What are we doing as now the blood-bought, redeemed children of God? And I believe it falls just in a very easy summary statement, these four pillars. And you could add nuances, you could expand them, but I think when you really boil them down, these are the things that really Scripture seems to indicate that we are responsible for. And we have been trying to take some time to focus in on that first one now for the last few weeks. And in light of that, I want to share a resource with you that I really want to encourage you to get. It's a little tiny book. It's through the Nine Marks Ministry, Mark Dever and a few of the others. This one is particularly written by a fellow by the name of Matt Merker. And I really have enjoyed this book. Something that I would encourage as a church, as a body, to pick up. It's not that expensive. One of the things, there's a quote in here that I just want to read for you. And he talks about the concept of must we gather. It's the name of the title of the chapter. He says, some do it out of duty. Others go to socialize or to teach their children about morality. And some crave an emotional high to carry them through the week. And others seek intellectual stimulation or ethical instruction. But what about born-again believers? Regardless of what we think, there's a deeper theological reason behind it all. God gathers his people. If God has adopted you into his family, then he is the one who brings you to the family dinner table of corporate worship. And I encourage you to think through with me and through us, with us rather, that there is something that we have as a responsibility as a church, as a people, and that we need to give attention to these things. And I think we're at a good time in the history of our church, at a place of pivotal time, as we are in this sort of disjointed dislocation. I feel like a little bit of a bone out of sorts here a little bit, because we are trying our best to get a building built, but yet it is a beautiful thing to watch how God has been growing us through the pandemic, growing us through the tornado and the after effects of that. And God is continuing to build us as a church, not just numerically, but I think through the experiences and allowing him to go to work in our lives as we individually take on that responsibility. Now, today, I wanted to take a moment and just kind of walk us through some things that are intimate to us as a church today. And I'm going to ask Kelly O'Rear, our discipleship pastor, to come up and join me up here this morning. And we wanted to take some time. And what's going to be neat about this series that we're in is every once in a while we're going to do similar to this. We're going to talk through some things. And I think what is important for us to understand is that it is one thing to get the proclamation of God's word. It's another thing then to kind of sit back and to think through and let's dialogue a little bit. Let's have an opportunity to kind of hear some different nuances, some different voices, and let's talk through and process these things. And so today what I wanted to do with Kelly is kind of walk through a little bit of some of the things that we are looking to do, especially starting next Sunday. And we're going to kind of jump a little bit because some of this deals a little bit more with the second pillar. But talking about this idea of discipleship, where does that fit in relationship to our worship, and where does it fit in relationship to some of these other components that we're trying to establish as a church, as a people? And so we'll get a little bit of a glimpse into some of those ideas. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through some questions. I'm going to put them up on the screen. And we're going to kind of dialogue here a little bit. We're going to invite you into our conversation, okay? And so kind of imagine this is our dinner table here, and he and I are sitting down, which is where all really good conversations happen, right? And or if you have teenagers, it happens while you're in bed, and they're coming in at 11 o'clock at night and want to ask you all kinds of questions. That's for those of you who have teenage kids, remember that, all right? But this is the second best place, and that's around the table. But I wanted to take some time today, Kelly, and we've talked through a lot of these things, and the burden that you have as really focused on taking our church to a level of growth and really taking a lot of the principles of God's Word and starting the process of applying and deepening our understanding of these truths. And so we're talking about this concept of next Sunday, and it's almost like, you know, there is this New Year's kind of feel to this, and I think in some ways for our church there is that. So what in your mind is really happening next Sunday? Why do you feel like this is such a momentous opportunity, and what is the biggest part of the change that's coming next Sunday in your estimation?
Two things. One, there's nothing to eat up here.
I'm sorry.
So I just wanted to highlight that. And okay. Two, like, all of those people got really nervous when I came up because now there's two preachers on the platform.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're not sure when this is going to end.
That's right.
So I'm just going to highlight that. So next week is a big deal. As Pastor Adam's already shared with you, we're going to a change of schedule. So you guys are going to find out where the rest of the church has been, because you're the ones that are like the early risers that have been here. But what I am excited about, and this has been developing in my heart probably over a couple of years, and certainly through a lot of dialogues that you and I have had, and you have helped me so much in helping to think through and process this and what it could look like. But we're going to open up during the, so we'll meet from 9:30 to 10:30. I'm trying to not think through Mike Swanson's timeline because it's a little different than the rest of the staff. But from 9:30 to 10:30 will be the worship service that we gather here. Then we're creating space, which I think is so sweet, for us to just interact together, like an intentional time for us as a church body to interact together, mostly back in the fellowship hall there. And then from 11 to 12, we're setting up what we're calling the discipleship hour, and there will be a couple of different things that are going on during that discipleship hour. Let me say from the onset, as Pastor has already said, this is not the ideal rollout for us of what I had envisioned this to be, because we have limited space, and I think God in his sovereignty knew that would be good for us.
Sure.
Because we're going to do a soft rollout of this and what this looks like. For one, some Sunday school classes have been meeting for a while, but others are going to start regathering. So we've created some space for that. But also a very soft launch of what we're calling discipleship classes. And these will be happening on a rotating basis. But we'll have four, remembering four, not three, four. We'll have four available this Sunday. So do you want me to go into that yet, or where do you want to go?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, emphasize the fact that this is a change, but not really a change from what we had prior to COVID and prior to the pandemic. We're kind of coming back to something. It's more about the sense that there are just some adjustments to when things happen, but also the big thing is just to appreciate that, you know, there is change. Everybody loves change, right? Everybody here that loves change, go ahead and raise your hand. I rolled into the parking lot today, and I saw somebody from California here, and I don't know if you're in the room here this morning, but it's a lot colder here. And change, whether you've just moved, whether, you know, but the thing about change is always good when it makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. It's terrible when it doesn't make sense to you. And that's the beautiful thing about change, is that it's about understanding the bigger picture. And that's the beauty of what we're wanting to really just kind of lay out here for you this morning. So thinking about all of that, and I think we have tried to hammer this point home, so next Sunday it's going to look a little different, but what is it then that we're trying to do? So let's go into this thought here, Kelly, and that is, so why are we offering these different classes, these electives, these Sunday school classes? In your mind, what is the value of having all of this time dedicated and these little pockets of peoples dispersing through this building? Why are we doing this?
this to me is the most important question that I want to share with us, because it's important as a church and in the things that we're doing that we understand the why behind the what. Otherwise, the what becomes a habit, or it can become meaningless or just rote. So what's the why behind the what of providing these classes? Why do Sunday school? Besides the fact that we've always done it, why do that? And so the why is an important question to answer. I would begin with, it is our prayerful effort to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples, but he also said baptizing them, but he also said teaching them. So teaching is a key element of the church, of the body of Christ. When you go to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and Paul talks about that God has given gifted ones to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Not gifted ones to do the work of the ministry, but to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So I would say, one, it's a fulfillment of what God has called us to do as a church, and it's our effort to be intentional and strategic and to think through why we're doing what we're doing. So I would say, one, it's to fulfill the Great Commission, but two, and Ray's touched on it, so she kind of set us up this morning for that, but we must not assume as a church biblical literacy. I realize that many in our church come from you've either been to a Bible college or you've gone to a Christian school, so there's a lot of that there. But the folks that are coming to us and the folks that are in this culture today are not biblically literate. The things that we take as basics, as given, that's not a given for a lot of folks. And so are we thinking through how do we bring them to a place of appreciating all that God is for them in Christ? I think about Ephesians 1:3, and I love this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We want to present a clear understanding of who Jesus is and all that he has done for us through the gospel, through his love to us. So we want to make sure that everybody is on the same page there. But I told Adam, I've been thinking about this and was processing this some more, and I think this is a key, and this may not be an angle that you were expecting, but why are we offering these electives and these classes? If you're familiar with Scripture at all, you understand that very often the writers of Scripture speak of the Christian life as a battlefield. And so for us to be, like, the Christian life, there's a battle, there's a war that's going on. And so for God's people to live with a peacetime mentality when we're at war, that's dangerous. And there are different wars that take place within us. And this is all coming back to answering this question, okay? There's different wars that take place. Some are within. We have doubts. We have questions. Galatians 5 talks about the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh, there's a war that goes on within, isn't there? And so we want to be equipped with, how is Jesus sufficient? How does he meet me in the midst of the questions that I have? And how do I live out the Christian life in this situation or that situation? So there's a war within. And we understand that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a world, there's a war without. There's a war on Christianity. We are not the majority. We are not the popular ones. And so to live out our biblical mandate involves us clashing with other worldviews and other mindsets that says there is no God, or God can't be trusted, or the church can't be trusted anymore. So we need to be equipped for those battles. Some of you are having conversations in your workplaces, in your family. Questions are being raised, and you're going, how do I talk to my unbelieving family member about this? How do I talk to a sister that I have who has rejected Christianity and rejected the faith that we were raised in? How do I have those? So we want to equip you for that. We want to be intentional in equipping you for that. But I also think a big part of the battle that we're facing today, and I want to be real tactful in saying this, but there's also a battle from those who profess to follow Christ and love Jesus, but are redefining Christianity, redefining love, redefining truth in a way that does not line up with the Word of God. So how can we lovingly, full of grace and truth, communicate into those conversations and understand how to wrestle with those battles in our own minds, but also how to lovingly come alongside those who are questioning what we've always understood as the basics and the foundation of how God created us to be and how God created us to operate. How do we lovingly come along folks like that and explain clearly what does God's word say and why is this not just the best but the only way that God has designed life to work. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think to kind of add to what, you know, Kelly, you've been talking about, I love Ephesians 4 and the whole concept of Ephesians 4 where he takes us through a journey of understanding our roles, our participation in these things. You come to chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And I think part of that challenge is that we have started to become very driven by the popular voices rather than the primary voice, yeah. And that's Christ. And our goal as a church is to get us back to the singular voice of the Word of God and then letting the multiplicity of expressions of that as it rolls out into all the areas of our life, that we have the ability to effectively communicate truth, but doing it because we love Christ, right. And we love other people. And a lot of times the ability to love others is tempered because of the fact that sometimes I don't understand you. And when I don't understand you, then I begin to compare you. And typically we go to myself. I'm going to compare you with me. What I like, what I don't like. And that becomes a tension then inside of the fellowship, the body of Christ. And I always say that the church is God's greatest petri dish. It is in the church that he grows us to look like Christ. It's in this place that we begin to understand what real love is, and we get to grow that together and begin to then transplant that into all the other areas of our life. And we need a safe place to do that. And so many times we get into, you know, the ruts and the traditions, and we recognize the value, and we recognize the importance of having times to spend time and talking and growing and things of this nature. But really, why? Why is that? Another resource
and
that
if,
I would...
if you think about, yeah, think about this too, okay. Like when we as believers feel uncomfortable with, you were saying, I'm trying to understand, when we don't understand, we either withdraw, don't we? And so we retreat into our little holy huddle, or we get angry and loud because we think angry and loud, if I can out-talk you, then I... And neither of those are healthy. That's not who Christ has called us to be.
Right.
You mentioned Ephesians. How about Ephesians 6, where Paul says, Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? How do I find my strength in the Lord? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. What is that? What does that look like? What does that mean? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our primary battle is not against people. But a false mindset that controls people and leads them to a broken worship, leads them to broken lives, but you keep going against the rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor, there it is again, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Now watch the next verse. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. That belt in the armor holds everything else together. So why are we having electives? Why are we having Sunday school classes? Because we want to equip and we want to make sure that the belt of truth is secure, which all the other armor is connected with.
And I think that magnifies the opportunity to worship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the concept. We start with our worship because of the fact that it's the focal point. This is why we are here. We grow in our understanding of who he is. It affects the way I interact with you. It affects the way I interact with the unsaved. And as I'm going through all of that experience, it draws me back into a fervency to long for God and his presence and his relationship. And I want to get to know him better. And as I am learning more about his attributes towards me and I'm understanding him walking, or there's parts sometimes when I don't understand. There's a resource that I've really appreciated, J.P. Moreland's book, Love Your God with All Your Mind. Phenomenal resource. I encourage you to pick that up sometime because he challenges us that part of our Christian experience is to make sure that we are truly able to understand God, to take the truth of God, to incorporate that into our lives, to not be intimidated when someone comes against us with a really tough question. or a tough challenge, but that if we believe, and I'll say it, how many times have you heard, we believe that the Bible is the sole authority for all of life and practice. And yet, where do we go to first? And it's sort of, well, again, some of the aspects that even raised have been saying that many times we go to the intermediaries, we go to the people in between. We need to go back into God's Word. We need to be students of God's Word and to think about these things together. Another question that I think it'd be good for us to kind of talk about here. So what is the difference between some of the, we're getting into some more of the nuts and bolts of this. So what is it that we're trying to establish here at Grace? Why is it that we are offering some of these electives versus just Sunday school? When we talk about those two terms, what are you meaning and how are we going to be referring to them? What should we as a church start to pick up on when we talk about these two different groups, so to speak?
Good. Many of us are familiar with Sunday school and Sunday school background and those stories. Sunday schools and our church, and I'm going to tap into you in a minute to talk about what you appreciated about what you saw Sunday school when you first came. But Sunday schools in our church and our church tradition have normally been built around stage of life. So the Sunday school classes that have been meeting and will kick in and others that will probably formulate are usually built around folks that are in a similar stage of life. The strength of Sunday schools is their long-term relationship. Some of you have been in a class for decades. You've done life together. And the teaching that takes place in Sunday school classes is directed, the application is often directed to what you're walking through as you get to know one another. So these are long-term relationships. What we're coming alongside to complement what's happening in Sunday school classes is what we're calling discipleship classes. And we're not the only church that's doing this. I know of at least two others in the area that have also been processing these things, and I've been chatting with them as well. Discipleship classes are different in that, they're short-term. So very often we're looking at like an eight-week model, a discipleship class that's on a specific topic for 8 weeks. And they rotate. So we, in the long run, what we see when we have the space to accommodate this is that there will be multiple discipleship classes going on, maybe two or three at the same time that folks can choose from. And what we want to do with these discipleship classes is we want to bring in some gifted teachers who can address topics that on a rotating basis. So over, in my mind and the way I visualize this, over a three-year period, there will be classes that will be offered and repeated. And again, coming back to those that aren't as biblically literate, or I still remember a chat with Paul Shenefield telling him about this, and he went, huh, you know, Paul, I'd love to be a part of something like that. So answering questions that are pretty important, like how does the Old Testament relate to the New Testament?
Good question.
In the Old Testament, isn't God just angry and holy and not gracious? And then comes along Jesus, and Jesus is gentle and lowly and loving. Like, aren't they different? No, they're not. Who is the Holy Spirit? I still remember the study that we did. Many of you were a part of on a Sunday night that we did a study on who is the Holy Spirit and how do we relate to the Holy Spirit. And I remember a precious conversation with a sister in Christ who came up to me afterwards and said, you know what? I've been in church for many, many years, and I'd never remember doing a study on the Holy Spirit. That's a win. That's a win. How can the book of Revelation motivate my daily living? Or why does it matter if Genesis and the first few chapters of Genesis are literal or not? Does that matter? What does it mean that Paul writes that we're in Christ? How does prayer work? How do I live out my faith with those that question my faith? Different things that we want to address on a regular basis. So these classes will be offered short term. Often, if it's something that we feel like there's a lot of people that want to do, and you're like, man, I missed out, I want to do that. Some classes we're going to offer like twice in a row. So it's going to go for 8 weeks, and then we're going to go for another 8 weeks and allow some other people to be a part of that. So does that help?
And I think that the key that you have to understand is that we really want to take us to a place where really all of us as a church can go through these different courses, these different teaching times so that we're on the same page. And that as new people come in, that there's a basis, there's a foundation of knowledge and information that gives us the ability to say that as a church, we've heard, we've talked through, we've digested, we've processed, we've we've debated, we've worked, we've wrestled through some very tough issues. But the important thing is that we keep coming back to the solidarity of Scripture to give us the platform to stand upon. And that is,
let me touch on something else too that you brought to my mind. We actually were going to do something like this, and then the tornado interrupted all of this. But one of the pluses of these discipleship classes, if you want to call them electives, is that there may be times that an entire established Sunday school class wants to go through one of these discipleship classes that we're offering, and then, you know, after that, get together and discuss it. It gives, and this is one of the many ways that I've so appreciated this man's insight and his help and wisdom in this area, is it also gives an opportunity for a Sunday school teacher to take a break. One of the downsides of being a Sunday school teacher at Grace Baptist Church is that once you sign on, you're a Sunday school teacher for life. You never get a break unless you go out of town or you're sick, and then you have a sub. So there's no break. So what these classes can also do is offer a time for a Sunday school teacher to come up for air, to work on and to study for the next series that he or she is going to do. So there's a lot of things that I'm really passionate and excited about in doing this and launching this.
And I think that, you know, to Kelly's point earlier, one of the things when I first came here, most of you remember, I've only 2 years, and which feels like it was just yesterday, and yet it feels like I've been here for 30. But same aspect, you know, one of the things that I appreciate is that as I come in new and I start looking at, you know, our tally sheet, so to speak, you know, and we get the numbers of how many people are attending in the Sunday school hour and then the morning worship hour. Our church as a whole has been invested in growing those relationships in those Sunday school hours. And that was something that was very much a part of the fabric and the makeup. And we are excited to get back to some of that. There's a little bit of a change. And again, that's that change word again. And that's due to the fact that some of the people are no longer with us. They have moved out of state. They've moved to other locations. Or we have some that just felt like this is, you know, an opportunity for them to step away because they have been teaching for so many years. Yeah. And so there's been some of those aspects. But part of that too is I think we can appreciate this. Anytime we go through major events like this, we come out on the other side just a little bit different. So this has been an opportunity for us to take and to amalgamate, to blend together so many of the strengths that we wanted to have coming back into these sort of these times together, and we're hoping that we can continue to maximize on that. And let me kind of go to this, you know, a little bit more. As far as these electives go, you know, the distinctives between that and a Sunday school class, you've kind of touched on a little bit already. It's not just the quantifiable, and it's not necessarily even thinking about it, it's not so much even that the contents, because a Sunday school class can go through very similar content.
Right.
Really what this is that this is going to be, and you're going to help add to this in a minute, Kelly, and that is, this is something that we're looking to do that's kind of cyclical. It's the idea that we want to bring these around and have them frequent enough that really everyone can, in the course of time, whether it's over a few years or whatever, you can come back again and revisit these things. Sometimes it might be by a different teacher, or maybe there is the same topic, we're going to do a little bit different resource or something like that. But we want it to be that as a church, you have opportunity over the course of time to continue to grow in your faith and to be challenged in very specific ways. And we're going to develop sort of a curriculum. My desire is in time to actually have a Bible Institute here at Grace, and to have something where people, and actually my greatest desire is to connect that with an established institution where people could go through our institute and actually get an associate's degree, to have it at that level. My hope is that as a church that we will not simply take our children, our young people, or even some of us adults, and to believe that we have to go somewhere else
right.
to get qualified teaching on the truth and the integrity of God's word. Why can't we do that as our own church? But to do it in such a way that it's quality, it's reputable, and it gives us something that we can stand upon. And so to give us a true platform to say that we can really understand God's word and to be able to handle it effectively. So let's get into one last question here so what should I understand about the Sunday school classes now, Kelly? Because some are going to ask and say, wait a minute, hold on. My class isn't on the list. Where's my class? You know, I've been part of this class. I hope that you could maybe help us get some comfort in what's coming. Where are we going from here?
Well, the classes that are meeting, and I'm going to try to touch it from this angle, but the classes that are meeting are ones that together they have agreed, yes, we're ready to meet in person, we want to do that. There are other classes that aren't quite comfortable with that yet. I think the question comes to also, okay, you have a listing of classes that are meeting. Some will meet every other week and not every week, just because we're trying to figure out space and how to fit everybody. We're literally putting the youth in the foyer. We're putting a class in the church office back there. Like, we're trying to use every bit of space that we can. Some of you may ask, well, my class is not meeting, or they're not comfortable meeting together, so what are my options? Well, that's where we're offering four electives. One will be, most of you do not realize, there's actually a classroom back here, and John Dratnall is going to be
that's
in this
the number
classroom.
13 there.
That's
on
the number
that
13,
sheet,
yeah. So it's behind, you come up this way or this way, but there's actually a room back there, and the heat is working, by the way, so right. I just went back there to check that. So John Dratnall is going to be walking some folks through, but I need you to sign up, because there's only so much room in that little space back there. I heard John Dratnall at the drop of a hat talk about the importance of the glory of God and including the glory of God in why we do what we do. I mean, at the drop of a hat, the man went to the whiteboard, gave an outline. It was incredible, at the drop of a hat. And so what I'm excited about is that John is going to have a platform now. He's been thinking through this. And if you know John, he's a thinker. He's been thinking through this. What does it look like, practically speaking, to live for the glory of God? And so John, with that golden voice of his, is going to be back here teaching on that. There's a classroom on the other side of those windows right there that I walked past for months and did not know it's there. But there's a classroom right there. Bill Hall is going to be in that classroom. And again, I need you to sign up for that. But Bill is going to go Old Testament on us, and he's going to talk about the relationship between Moses and God, but it's an effort also to understand how do we relate to God and what is God like. But I know Bill, and many of you have not heard Bill teach, but some of us in the men's group on Sunday nights have had the privilege of hearing this man teach, and his energy that he throws into what fascinating. I learned things in the life of Joseph. I thought I knew Joseph of the Old Testament. I learned things from that man. I love his energy. I love his excitement about his content. And so Bill's going to be in that room right there teaching on Moses' relationship with God. So the life of Moses, particularly in how Moses related to God. Laura Welsh, this has just come about. Every other week, Laura Welsh is going to have a ladies' study on the attributes of God. All I need to say is, it's Laura Welsh. I mean, the woman is such an incredible teacher, just wins hearts to herself. So she's going to be meeting with ladies back in the church office doing that. And then you say, well, what if all of these are full? Where do I go? So that's where our dear beloved pastor here, we're going to have in this room, after the fellowship time, starting at 11 o'clock, we'll have what we're calling sermon in review. And so in light of what he's just taught on Sunday morning, what does that look like on a practical basis? And then you can ask all kinds of questions to put him on the spot. It'll be great. You're going to love it. But to talk together, to talk out loud, to talk through the sermon. And we've talked about different people are going to moderate that. We've talked about using that hour also for, we're going to incorporate some electives during that hour as well. But those are the options. And I don't know if that's tackling the question that you wanted to, but I'm also looking at the clock.
So the key on all this is that there is a method to our madness. There is a reason for our madness. And in some aspects.
I'm not mad.
Yeah, I know, but... some people may think I am, but the same aspect, really, it comes back to the fact that we're trying to build each of these pillars as strong as we can. We want it to be that when people walk in here, whether saved and in a weaker relationship with God, maybe just newly coming into relationship with the Lord, that they really find a sense of connection with other people who truly want to magnify the Lord. And in that process, to then draw them into a time of further growth and development and study. And part of what we didn't even talk about here is the things that we're planning to do with our small groups that are outside of these walls and other places. That's a whole other conversation. We wanted to get these started, and we're looking to relaunch all of those as we get opportunity here. But there is such a longing in my heart to see us growing again in a deeper understanding, a truer understanding of what God's Word has to say, in being able to deal with the pushback that the world is putting on us. And how do we stand as salt and light? I was interacting with a missionary in another country, and that country is getting ready to most likely pass a no-convert clause in their law, making it basically illegal for a person to convert from their birth religion to Christianity. Well, this missionary is now in a quandary. How do I prepare our people to potentially face not just jail, but even life and death decisions? And we don't think that'll ever happen in the United States of America? What are we preparing for? And I think we need to be honest about where we stand. You stand with someone who doesn't agree on your view of just simply abortion and see how the temper and the tenor goes in the voices. Or your view of any of the hot button topics, our gender selection, our who we choose to love questions. So all of the social agendas. But if we are not speaking truth in love, then we are missing the greatest opportunities to be able to truly point people to Christ and not to a social agenda. And so we want to become a church that's well-grounded and deepened in these things. I hope that in the course of all of this, if you have specific questions, especially about some of the things that we talked about here today, talk to Kelly. Don't talk to me. Talk to him. All right? But at the same point, I hope that you can appreciate that we have been really deliberating on this for quite a long time. We have been wanting to get this in motion for quite a while. And I look forward to seeing what God's going to do in our church to grow us and to make us stronger for the days ahead. We're going to have a time here to sing a song in closing and to sort of transition from this time. And I hope that you will make sure to interact with each other, to take this time that you have to fellowship with one another, get to know one another in these moments, because it's similar to this is what we would do is leave here and go into our time of fellowship, go back into that fellowship hall to enjoy conversations, interaction, and then to journey into the next opportunity to grow and to take these truths and to develop them and allow God to continue to deepen our walk with Christ. And I hope that you're ready to do that as a church. I'm excited that we're getting to this point. Let's stand together, and we're going to have a closing word of prayer and allow Fred to come and dismiss us as well in a song together. Father, we're grateful for this morning and just grateful that I'm surrounded by men and women who truly have such a passion for you, individuals like Kelly who has just been pondering and weighing, Lord, how can we best invigorate again the joy, the enthusiasm again for your word amongst our people. And Lord, I know that we have people here that are just tremendous students of your word. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to continue to communicate that with one another, that we might express our love for you. And that, Lord, as we come here, this isn't just what we do. Lord, we do it because we love you and we want to grow in our relationship with you. So Lord, marry our hearts with you. Increase our passion for you. And Lord, as you increase our passion for you, I pray that it would turn to those that you have also saved, the body, the church, and then especially to those who are outside of your grace. Lord, they have been rejecting you, or they've been refusing you, or they just maybe have never even heard of you. I pray that we would be mouthpieces, that we would be hearts and vessels ready to pour you out through our lives upon others. Magnify yourself in our midst, we pray. And may you be honored and glorified. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I give you my life. I give you my trust. Jesus. My God, and you are enough, Jesus, oh Jesus,
my heart is yours,
my heart is yours, my heart is yours, take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, my life in your hands. I lay down my life, I take up my cross.
Thank you for this morning, and we pray that as we go forward, our lives would just be passionately worshiping you. And what we learn in these classes, what we learn in worship, that we apply those practically to our lives as we reach out, disciple, and in our fellowship and in our evangelism. We thank you for what you're going to teach us, Lord, for it's in your Son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Two things. Remember the business meeting tonight is at 6 o'clock. It's our annual business meeting, so we'll be giving some reports. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, I'm moderating a welcome team meeting. So if you've been a greeter or you're interested in that area, we would really love to talk with you and just kind of talk through some things with you tonight. Lord bless you.